my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show, where our mission is to serve you and empower you so you make better financial decisions in your life. In this episode, you may or may not have heard this, but there's an innovative primary care healthcare provider in the United States I've talked about from time to time in the past called One Medical. One Medical offers a more personalized and ongoing relationship for primary care for you in return for paying an annual subscription, but it's not a giant one. Well, they have been acquired by Amazon, and a lot of One Medical customers have been furious because they've loved how boutique-y One Medical has felt to them, and they felt like they've been able to manage their health much better than before, and now they figure it's all going to be algorithm and invasion of privacy and all this. I mean, the complaining from One Medical people is so extreme, and I want to talk about why Amazon would do this and how it actually could be good for people that Amazon is throwing money at this. And want to give a quick update later on this wild Hertz story about Hertz having people falsely arrested on false charges and people losing their jobs, spending months in jail, having to hire criminal lawyers, all this stuff. Want to tell you the latest going on with the bizarro Hertz story. So Amazon has been nibbling at healthcare for a long time. Years ago, they bought an innovative prescription drug distribution company pharmacist. I think it was called PillPack when it was an independent company. But anyway, the idea is, you know how you don't remember, well, did I remember to take that pill or this one or that one or the other? They sell them to you where they're all set up by day. And it's a very, very clever, lower cost, not ultra low cost prescription company. And Amazon has been experimenting and providing direct health care to their own employees and to other people, just as Walmart has been doing. But Amazon spends a fortune, as does Walmart, on health care for its own employees. And they just are so frustrated how messed up healthcare is in the United States. And so they look at this, buying One Medical, as looking for ways to provide better healthcare to their employees at potentially a lower cost to Amazon. Because the whole key with getting people into an ongoing relationship with primary care is that with primary care, a lot of things that would go neglected and could lead to huge illnesses that could cost you your life or your health or be very expensive to take care of, you eliminate a lot of that by having adequate, well thought out, and ongoing primary care. Not just hit or miss going to this urgent care or whatever place, that you have an ongoing relationship with continuity of care. And so that is the idea of this, and they do it multi-platform. It could be a virtual visit, in-person visit. It could be somebody coming to you, believe it or not, using all the internet tools to try to provide better care, better follow-up. And so I say to those of you who've loved being with One Medical and you're really upset that this giant monster Amazon has now bought your provider, don't jump ship. Let's wait and see how it plays. If Amazon messes it up, then you're going to have plenty of time to go somewhere else. But in the meantime, give them a shot to see if they can, because let me tell you, what we're doing with medical care right now does not work. All I can tell you is when I'm sick, I want to go to the vet because my dogs get so much better attention than humans do from medicine.
This is from Matt in Illinois. I purchased a new Chromebook on Amazon to use for only banking and brokerage purposes. I was disappointed to see what showed up from Amazon was a refurbished Chromebook, not a new one. Can I safely use a refurbished Chromebook for banking and brokerage, or does it need to be new?
Okay. If Amazon sold you a refurb that was not disclosed to you as a refurb, return it and get your money back, period. That's deceptive if they sold you one as new and sent you a refurb. As to whether a Chromebook would be safe that is a refurb, Chromebooks operate so differently from how a MacBook or a Windows computer works that I would not be worried about you using a Chromebook that was a refurb as a way to do your bill pay, banking, that kind of stuff.
Probably have to worry more about like the camera having an issue or sound and things like that, that it might have been refurbed.
Well, it may be a piece of junk.
Yeah. A lemon. And from Shirley in California, I've recently read that you should download an antivirus program on your Chromebook. Is this necessary? I have two Chromebooks, one for surfing the net and another for financial purposes.
So I read, obviously, a lot of the technology blogs, and I have not seen any of the security-minded people recommend that you do that. Google is phenomenal at giving you the updates to the Chrome. There'll be a little circle with an arrow pointed up inside it. When you need to do a Chrome update, it's whenever they realize there are vulnerabilities. And do those when you see them. They're very quick to do. The Chromebook reboots very quickly. And I don't know that there's a need. I've never read or heard or even believe that there's a need for antivirus. I'm not a technology expert, so I may have to change what I say about that at some point. But at this point, I would not bother with that.
I would think there are some Chromebooks that download programs, right? And then some that are just web browsers.
No, they all have a certain amount of capacity. They store documents. They don't really store programs in a traditional sense. They're web surfing machines,
I thought, but I just had heard that. So if you did have one that could download other programs, then I would recommend having antivirus.
Gosh, I don't know. All right.
We'll find out more. This is from Daniel in Georgia. Here's a tip for your listeners. If you find out that a product you have bought has dropped in price at the store you bought it or at a competitor, call the seller and see if they will do a price match. I bought a new phone at Best Buy, then saw the manufacturer had dropped the price by $200. I searched around and found numerous stores that had dropped the price as well, including Best Buy. I called them and they refunded me $200.
Isn't that fantastic? It's a very competitive market right now, as I've talked about again and again and again. While prices of some things are going up, many other things are going down in price right now. And so you're going to find that shortly after you buy something, you'll be like, oops, why is it so much cheaper now than it was last week? And depending on the retailer and your persistence, you may well be able to do exactly what Daniel has done and get that $200 back in your pocket.
What are your thoughts on being charged 3.99% if you pay with a credit card or check? I am in need of a brake job and will need to withdraw $750 in cash in order to save this extra charge. I do not feel safe carrying that amount around. And that was from Susan in Illinois.
So Susan, being charged a fee to pay by check is very odd. Having to pay 4% on a credit card. Now, you know, I've talked about why I'm so much in favor of that. I am so excited about Brazil, which is a huge country with a very large population, coming up with a new payment system platform that's much more secure than how we pay in the United States, that eliminates all the fees for the merchants. And I hope that something like that comes to the United States. But I can't understand for the life of me the junk fee for a check, unless they're worried about people stopping payment on a check after they've had the work done. I think I'd ask the question, why do they want 4% more to pay with a check? Get it with a credit card because of all the huge junk fees the banks and Visa and MasterCard impose on the use of a credit card. The check thing, that doesn't smell right. Well, coming up ahead, my update on Hertz And what a wild, wild ongoing story I got for you. The Hurt story is just, it's so diabolical, it's crazy. So Hurts had their record keeping so messed up that their legal department kept swearing out warrants for people's arrest for Grand Theft Auto, mistakenly thinking that customers had not returned Hertz car rentals. Now, I want to give you background. It's been a problem for the car rental agencies, all of them, for decades with criminal rings that present fake credentials, stolen credit cards, whatever. And the last time the rental agency ever sees that vehicle is when it leaves their lot with that fake renter. And then the vehicle is chop shopped. If you're not familiar with that, that's when it's broken up into parts or it's quickly shipped overseas, never to be seen again. So it is a legitimate real problem the car rental agencies have. Hertz had a terrible problem with just not having its act together. Ultimately, they went bankrupt. Now they're out of bankruptcy. And they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people falsely arrested who ended up with facing serious criminal charges. A lot of them ended up in jail for months waiting to get their names cleared, lost their jobs, lost their families, lost huge money. Can you imagine you're just at work one day and the police come and they assume Grand Theft Auto, you are a potentially violent, dangerous criminal, taking you into custody. You're somewhere eating lunch with a friend or a family member, and suddenly a whole swarm of police come up, maybe even guns drawn, which happened in several of these cases, haul you off to jail, and they never believe you that you didn't commit the car theft. Well, it turned out that these many, many, many hundreds of times Hertz messed up. So Hertz then goes to court after all these people are cleared and people want compensation because they can't get their lives back like they were before. So what do? In America, we seek money. So then Hertz goes to court and says, hey, yeah, we may have done all these things, but we don't want to pay anybody because, well, we went through bankruptcy. So we want to wipe all these claims out. Federal judge said, forget you. Forget you. You're not going to hide behind bankruptcy. So now the general counsel of Hertz sent away, new one hired. New one says her top priority is to get this solved and provide compensation to these people. All I can say is it's about time. It is just a terrible, terrible, weird circumstance. Okay, so what happened in a number of these cases is someone may have been out on a rental and their flight was canceled. So they extended a day or whatever. And in Hertz's system, somehow that would trigger an anomaly, sloppy work. They'd end up issuing a warrant for people's arrest. That happened a lot of times. There were various things like that that happened. They were all just mess ups by Hertz.
Okay, we'll go to some questions. This is from Reeb in South Carolina. Clark, please advise listeners that they must read all bills from their elderly relatives' care homes. I've found three charges in the last 60 days that are incorrect. The largest was $250. Of course, the staff is glad to correct or remove the charge, but if I had not seen these false bills, then they would have been paid in the next monthly statement.
Reeb, you're talking about significant money here with the care home. I would like to expand that. Bills you get every month that are variable in nature, you owe it to yourself to go through them line by line. Your checking account statement, any credit card statements, and I've said this my whole career, that this is something to do because it's not normally going to be somebody trying to cheat you. It's going to be some kind of clerical error or incompetent systems like I'm talking about with Hertz. They just won't have their act together. And you get billed for things that are not your charge. So, yeah, Reeb, I love it that you're talking about the care homes because the numbers can be so much bigger. Make it a habit in your life to routinely check your bills. Most people now have, and I think you're one of the people who does the electronic statements from a lot of credit card companies. And often when people have an electronic statement, they just pay it. You have to go an extra step to look at the statement. Please do it.
This is from Natalie in California. What happens if inflation is, say, zero? With the fixed rate on the I-bonds at 0%, does that mean I must keep my money there anyway in order to avoid early withdrawal penalties?
Yes, Natalie, you do. And thank you, because this hasn't come up of late. And if we go to 0% inflation in the country, that would actually be a great thing. And the funny thing with the Series I savings bonds, when Series I bonds started in the 1990s, I think that's when they started issuing them, you got the rate of inflation plus a bonus interest rate. Now you just get the rate of inflation, which people are thrilled with because it's been over 9% that they're getting on the Series I savings bonds. But yes, as the Federal Reserve gets inflation under control through a full six-month period, whatever it is at that point, then that's what you earn that period. If they're actually lucky enough to get inflation down to zero, then that would be true. You'd earn that. So what are you allowed to do? You have to own the Series I savings bond for a minimum of a year. You forfeit the last 90 days of interest. So if it's sometime between year one and year five, when there's no 90-day penalty anymore, if a six-month period goes to 0%, you can wait into that cycle. Once you've completed that cycle, you can forfeit 90 days interest, which is 0%. You'd actually lose nothing. And you have your money back to go invest somewhere else. Did that make sense, or did you glaze over,
Krista? No, it made sense to
Okay.
me. This is from Tony in Oklahoma. My company is offering a tax-free index fund based on life insurance as a retirement package for its employees. They will match up to 10%. They say it's based on different indexes, so I will not lose money when the market is down and up to 9% when the market is up. Is this for real? Seems a little too good to be true. Hopefully I explained this correctly.
So Tony, I don't know exactly, but I'm going to take the best stab at it. So a really, really, really hot insurance company product right now are equity index funds, where they give you a portion of the stock market gain and protect you from a portion or all of the losses the market might have in a year. It is not a free lunch because the stock market moves in big swings. So yes, it is true that an equity index fund could protect you from significant downside during a really bad year. But what you miss is you miss, with the ceiling on it, most of the upside that can happen in a particular year. And you also lose what is, in most years, accounting for like roughly a third of the gain you have on stock type investments. And that is the value of the dividends. The insurance company doesn't share the dividends with you. Only the raw gain in the market up to the cap. So the market goes up 35% in a year, you're capped at 10. If it goes up 20%, you're capped at 10. If it goes down 20%, you lose nothing or the amount that it calls for. In your case, they say you don't lose anything. All right, so the tax-free thing, not true either. It is tax-sheltered till the time you have to pay tax on the value of your account as it has increased. So these are unbelievably complicated plans. I would not be surprised if you ask for the plan document if it is more than 175 pages long. And all those pages are not designed to do good things for you. They are designed to tell you what they're going to take away from you later, or the gotchas you're not aware of, including how long you have to hold the account in order to benefit from it. Since the employer, oh, so 9% is the cap you get, not 10. 10% is what the employer will match. So if they'll match dollar for dollar up to 10% of your money you put in, even with all the things I just told you that would be potential problems with one of these, if it really is, they match you dollar for dollar first 10% you put in, that's a deal for you. You just are going to have to know you have to jump through all the rest of the hoops.
And from Steve in New York, why do you say free TV when you need an internet connection?
Steve, thank you so much. Because if you live in Manhattan or a part of Brooklyn where you're surrounded by really tall buildings, for you, that would be a true story. But for most everybody else, even in the other boroughs, anywhere upstate, anywhere on the island, and all around America, except in very congested urban spaces, you can get free over-the-air broadcast channels, depending on where you live, with an antenna that costs as little as $10. And you pick up many more local channels for free than you ever knew existed. And so...
In HD.
In true HD, not compressed HD, you're getting full bore, incredible picture. Because what's funny about the antennas, you either get an unbelievable picture or you basically get no picture at all, depending on the signal, which is why the cost of the antenna depends on how hard it is for you to be able to pull in the signals from the channels. And then it truly is free. Well, you have to watch commercials. That's what you're paying to be able to watch local channels broadcast free. But do you know that a local channel you get by cable or satellite, they'll show you one channel. But do you know broadcast, each signal can have as many as five channels? So let's say you have a channel 9, and that's what shows on your cable or satellite. And that's your local ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, whatever, an independent. If you're getting it instead by antenna, you're getting 9-1, 9-2, 9-3, 9-4, 9-5. Because the local broadcaster for broadcast is allowed up to 5 signals. And you get them all for free if you can pull them in by an antenna. So know that free is for me, and I want free to be for you as well. And for almost 30 years, for 30 hours a week, we offer free one-on-one information, advice, and guidance from a member of Team Clark, our Team Clark Consumer Action Center, here to serve you. The times we serve you each day, Monday through Friday, no Saturday and Sunday, 10 in the morning Eastern till 4 in the afternoon Eastern. The number, 636-492-5275.